This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's sponsored by Coors Light.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Watch us on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. EO11 is here producing the show tonight.
Thanks.
Bleck and Abdallah with you. The phone number is 312-332-3776 if you want to join the conversation. Listen, it continues to happen. Why do we continue to hear that Jim Boylan might be back as head coach for the Chicago Bulls? Why is this still a thing? Like, okay, I get it. New management. They're going to take their time. They're going to figure it out. But the rumblings are still behind the scenes. About 11 days ago, Abdallah, you and Waddle got a chance to talk with ESPN's Malika Andrews.
That was 11 days ago?
It was.
It feels like an hour.
Welcome to the pandemic.
It feels like an hour ago.
Time moves fast.
We need to figure that out. Why did March feel like 7 months? And the rest of the time has felt like a day.
Well, because this is basically a Christopher Nolan movie. Time is warped within the pandemic.
It's a flat circle.
And think about it. If you really want to break into it, we'll get to Jim Boylan here in a second. If you want to understand what's taking place, think about it. Things that take place now, your actions now, you don't get to find out the results of until 2 weeks out in the future. Right? So decisions you make now, Abdallah, going to bars in Wrigleyville without your mask and hanging out with a bunch of people.
Never.
We will see the results of that in 2 weeks. So please wear a mask.
Or.
So not only is this a bit about Christopher Nolan.
Do we know the results?
It's also a PSA.
Do we know the results and now we're just figuring out how we got there? Memento.
Or are we then trying to reverse time to go back to then change those mistakes that took place when we were trying to figure out what would take place in the future 2 weeks ahead so we can then hopefully save lives?
What if I have to go inside a bookcase and warn everybody about this?
See, that was the weirdest one. Like, I didn't understand how that actually connected the different dimensions in Interstellar.
It's a good question.
It is. So back to Jim Boylan. Why is he still the Bulls head coach? Continuity throughout the offseason, so if they had to play in the campus setting of Summer League.
We know they're not playing.
They're not.
They're not playing.
So you and Waddle got a chance to talk with Malika Andrews from ESPN.com, and this is what she said about the Bulls parting ways with Jim Boylan now. This is what Malika had to say about 11 days ago.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them. When someone tells you something, I guess in the case of the Bulls, maybe you would have reason to question it, but they have said so many times that Jim Boylan, they're not rushing away from him, no matter how much fans maybe want them to do so. I don't think the Bulls see it that way. I don't think the Bulls see themselves as doing a disservice to anyone because their ownership group, for better or worse, seems to really like Jim Boylan. And so and go pour yourself a drink after that one, because I know that that's not what you wanted to hear. But I mean, I don't think that they're viewing themselves as a team that is in an imminent coaching search right now. The Knicks, on the other hand, are.
So there is still a chance that because Karnisovas has said that he wants to get
Abdallah.
Well, he said that he wants to get face to face, and I understand that, but you can't do that right now, and they will when they can. Maybe they can now with Illinois. Maybe they can go to like a restaurant or something when it opens, or a patio here in Chicago. But ultimately, there's still a chance that Boylan is the coach of the Bulls.
Hell yeah.
Yes. There's more than a chance. You need to wrap your head around. There's more than a chance that he's still a coach of the Bulls.
Whoa, come on.
Wow. I did not know that we were going to take this turn.
We just walked into crazy town. Malika, you're telling me next year Jim Boylan
He very well still could be the coach of the Bulls next year. He could be.
So that's Malika Andrews about 11 days ago here on ESPN 1000. She's from ESPN.com. Jim Boylan could be the Bulls head coach next season.
I'm fighting dudes.
On Cap and Company, Joel Cowley from the Chicago Sun-Times joined Cap to talk about the Bulls offseason. And he suggested, because Cap asked, would it be crazy with all the positive vibes and momentum the Bulls have created in this offseason, would it be crazy for them to ruin that by continuing to keep Jim Boylan as the head coach? Here's Joe Cowley today on Cap and Company.
I can honestly say right now at 11, whatever it is today, that Jim Boylan currently feels like he'll be coaching the Bulls next season. Now, should that worry Bulls fans that he's so confident? And why is he so confident? Has he been guaranteed something from Jerry Reinsdorf? Because I think of the interviews, the Zoom interviews, the talks that they've had with the players, some other circumstances behind the scenes that Arturas and Mark Eversley have found out, put together. In their mind, they are already conducting a coach search. But like I said, at the end of the day, it all has to go through the boss, and it all has to be signed off on the boss. And it'll be interesting. If he says, no, you're keeping Jim, I wonder how Arturas and Eversley will react, and will they regret taking this job with the Bulls?
How about that? Joe Cowley on Cap and Company earlier today, that if Boylan is told that he's returning because someone at the highest level, a Reinsdorf level of this, says that Boylan's coming back, whether or not Eversley or AK would say, you know, why did we take this job if we're being told that a head coach has to stay here? I when I heard that from Cowley today, I was shocked.
But by other accounts too, we've also heard that, and I believe Cowley also said this too, or wrote this at least, and said that, yeah, the Reinsdorfs and Michael Reinsdorf like Boylan, and they would like him to be considered, but they also wouldn't get in the way of Karnišević and Eversley making a decision. So if they say, no, we're firing him and we're moving on and we're hiring whoever, Adrian Griffin, whoever, then supposedly that's okay too. So which is it now? Which one is it? Is it that Boylan's going to be the coach? Or is it that Boylan's going to be the coach unless they don't want them, but they don't want them, so then it's going to be someone else?
What is it about Jim Boylan that they like so much?
I have no idea. I literally, every player, except for Zach LaVine, got worse. Kobe White started to play better, but he should have been starting from the jump. There was no reason why Kobe White had to sit on the bench for however long it was at the beginning of the season.
None.
Should have been starting.
Yeah.
This dude is calling horrible timeouts at the end of games. His own players are mocking him on the sideline. His own players have no respect for him. And if you believe what you heard coming out of these meetings, that these guys, now, they may have not have said bad things about Jim Boylan to the media during their exit interviews.
I don't think
whatnot.
They said good things.
I don't know if they said good things either. They may have just been like, you know, we're going to let the situation play itself out and all that. You never heard, you didn't hear a player that would be like, Boylan's here or I'm out. You, in fact, you had Lauri Markkanen say he wanted to leave.
Yeah, that was reported.
It was reported that he said he wanted to leave. And now guess what? You bring in Karnišević, you bring in Eversley, and he's like, you know what? I could sign an extension here. You know why? Because he thought the change was going to be made here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've also been told that if the Bulls think they're signing free agents while Boylan's still the head coach, that's not happening. So, you know, Cap was right to ask the question of Cowley, because it seemed like the Bulls finally turned a corner with this franchise heading in the right direction to get back to that level of championship level basketball that we're used to seeing if you were a Bulls fan growing up in the 90s. Like, I get it. You're never going to rekindle the same magic. You're never going to get a Michael Jordan again, but you could be a good team in this league. You know, what we saw in the 2010s with Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Joakim Noah, Luol Deng, Tom Thibodeau, that was a good team. Those are the type of teams that we could have in this city. Getting to the conference finals, maybe every once in a while you pop into the NBA finals. That would be great. It's not going to happen with Jim Boylan. Listen, I wasn't planning on talking about Jim Boylan today.
He keeps coming up.
But when Cowley said that, and then I matched it with what Malika told you guys last week, why are people in the league throwing out there the caveat that don't be surprised if the Bulls just keep him? Like, why is that a thing? And, you know, the Knicks are going to do their search for a head coach. The Knicks and the Bulls are in the same spot. They're basically both going through a complete remodel. And top down, they're gonna flip the house. And the Knicks are going to do it. They're going to hire a new head coach. They've got 12 candidates that they're going to go through. Smart. They're going to talk to a bunch of people. That's smart. I would hope at some point the Bulls will do the same thing.
The only thing that I'm still hoping for is that the reason the Bulls haven't done it yet, and they have their guy picked, they know that Adrian Griffin's going to be the guy, right? Because you haven't seen his name connected to the Knicks yet. Yet. It could be. Yet. But not yet. And that when the Raptors are eliminated from the playoffs or they win or whatever, whatever happens first, they're eliminated, most likely, they interview Adrian Griffin, and then you make the move. Like, that's when you make the move.
Listen, if I were running things, I wouldn't wait for the Knicks to dictate my policy on what I'm going to do with my franchise.
I'm not saying that the Knicks need to dictate your policy. What I'm saying is maybe the Knicks go to have gone to Adrian Griffin, and he's like, no, I'm not interested. And then the Bulls come a call. He's only interested in taking the Bulls call.
But back to what I was saying, though. Why would you only interview one person? Why would you only look at one individual? Isn't that how we've gotten into this mess before with Hoiberg? With Boylan?
Yeah, but we can all agree that Adrian Griffin's a better
well, I don't
candidate.
Whoever the candidate is, I'm saying last time there was an open position, they zeroed in on one person, and that was the only person, and Gar Forman promised him a gig the year before. Like they don't do it the right way. Just do it the right way, finally. I just don't get why Boylan, like, fine. If you think he's good, okay, just tell us why, I guess. I just don't see it. I'm at a loss that he's still kicking around over there. I really am.
Well, they already told him to stay out of front office business. They've already scaled back his lingering.
No one wants to see Grimace shaking hands before games like that and talking to agents.
That's not.
What do you mean? He's doing the like Grimace smile. Isn't that what it is? That's what it reminds me of. You know, from the Happy Meal.
I know who Grimace is.
Do they still have that, the characters?
I think so. I don't know.
I don't really see Ronald McDonald out there.
I haven't been to a McDonald's in a while, and let alone to get a Happy Meal.
I don't see him out there in the marketing strategy much anymore. Is a Hamburglar still around?
Yeah, I would assume so.
What other characters?
Burglin' Hams.
Did the chicken nuggets have names, or they just had eyeballs? Remember those? They like kind of danced around on the screen.
Yeah, but you could like get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They came in like little toy packs.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Absolutely.
Those were always the bad toys, too. Like when they were like the toys.
When they're the toys of the McDonald's
Yeah,
characters.
When they're like, there's no movies coming
you
out.
You wanted Hot Wheels.
There's no Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So we're going to roll out some nuggets. There's no Beanie Babies.
When he does the little smile, like he knows that the reporters are asking him dumb questions, it's a Grimace-like smile.
I understand that, yes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
On Friday night, it was fantastic to watch a show about the NBA where they were talking about actual games. Like, they gave us a schedule on ESPN TV. They talked about matchups, whether or not Zion Williamson and the Pelicans can make a run.
Mm-hmm.
What should we expect from the top teams in the league, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks?
Yeah. So that's the cycle now, right?
It was outstanding.
So the cycle...
What's the cycle?
That's the stage we're in right now, right? That's the phase. I'm going to do sports phases.
Yeah.
Phase one, we're not doing anything. We're not playing anything.
Right.
We're just...
No sports, nothing
going
on.
Who knows? Who knows? Phase two, maybe. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. See. Maybe. Phase three. Guess what? Here's a plan.
Oh, yeah. I
Here's
like the
a
plan.
Date.
Yeah, plan.
Here's a date.
Let's do the plan.
Here's a date. Phase four. The plan is happening.
Plan is happening. Now we have live studio shows breaking down games.
Now phase five is talking about how cool those shows were.
Yeah. Well, and actually getting to the actual games.
Well, now, and then phase six is games.
Yes. And that's where we talked to Deontay Prince from the Chicago Tribune. His column right now in the Chicago Tribune, five questions about the NBA's restart in Orlando. Are there health risk concerns? What should we expect from the quality of play? We bring in Deontay now here on ESPN 1000. Chris and Adam with you. And Deontay, when we look at the NBA's restart, do you think they'll actually get games played in Orlando?
It's looking that way. I mean, here we are entering into July, and some teams have already been in Florida. I read a story on ESPN about how the Raptors have sort of been bunkering down in Fort Myers. So it appears like everything is going that way. I have a couple of friends who work for the NBA, and they're already headed down to Florida. So it looks like everything is moving full steam ahead.
And the NBA believes that they are not in Florida. Like, they're in Florida, but they're in this bubble of Florida, so they're not affected by the spike in cases, the high positivity percentage, all the bars and beaches and everything shutting down again. They're like, no. We're going to be separate. We're going to be in our own bubble. We're going to be able to do this without any... Well, there's going to be some hitches, but basically we're going to be able to do this without any major hitches.
Well, that's the most confusing part. I mean, so obviously there are people who will have to... who work for Disney... who will have to, I guess, go in and out of the bubble. You know, if you deliver food at hotels, or if you're a cleaning person or whatever, you aren't going to be forced to stay on the Disney campus for 3 months, or at least that's my understanding. And I saw a tweet with J.J. Redick, who he saw something about how some of the people who work for Disney will be shuttling back and forth, and his response was, so it's not a bubble. So that's one of the parts that's a little bit confusing. Obviously, the league is doing as much as they can in terms of setting up protocols. They have rings that can detect whether someone has a fever. They're going to check people's temperature every day. They're even going to do that with the media members. You know, if you're in the media and you go down there, you travel, within the next couple of weeks, you're going to have to quarantine in Florida for 7 days before you even leave your hotel room. So they're taking all the steps they possibly can, but this situation is just so different, and the waters that they're in are so uncharted that it's really impossible to know what comes next. And that's kind of what I was trying to focus on in the story for the Tribune, is that while the league is doing all they can, they really don't – there's no way to know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, absolutely. And Deontay Prince from the Chicago Tribune joining Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You know, you're right about that. We don't know how it's going to turn out, but clearly the drive behind all of this is the economic side, right? And even though there's lost revenue, the league can make up quite a bit of the chunk of missing revenue from missing about 3.5 months of the season. What's that side of that play into this decision?
Yeah, and this was a big chunk of the story as well. Like, when you look around the country at large, you know, and the drive to, as you all talked about, all of the phases, the drive to push things forward, you know, is leaning toward economics, and money is obviously a factor in all of this. If you set up a league as meticulously as the NBA is set up with the salary cap, and even, you know, small things from year to year can affect the level of the cap and what players can make and what, you know, what type of money teams are going to make and all of that. So when you throw in a hitch this big where you miss 3.5 months and, you know, no one saw this coming, there was no way to sort of like shield yourself from this. You know, it's a real economic loss. And there are parts that the league won't make up at all. You know, there won't be fans. So you're missing out on money from 20,000 people per night in 30 different cities. So, you know, some of this won't be made up at all, but, you know, at least the TV deals and all of that remains intact if you go down to Florida and you finish out the season.
As far as the conditioning goes, a lot of these guys have already been playing. Like, they're doing some conditioning, and, you know, guys, if they have access to a hoop, are going to play. You know, like Giannis has said he doesn't have access to a hoop until the training facility was open. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to forget how to shoot a basketball or anything like that.
Right.
But ultimately, what's the conditioning of these guys, you know, heading down there and getting into this first round, these opening games? What is that going to be like for some of these guys, especially the older guys? Like, LeBron keeps himself in peak physical condition, but ultimately, if he's not in game shape, he's also said it takes him a while to get back into game shape.
Right. And you see this at the beginning of the year often. Like, there's no way to replicate game speed. I think obviously the league tried to put in the 2 weeks where guys show up on the 15th and they don't play until the 30th. But there's really no way to replace that game speed. And this, this has basically been an offseason. Like, this is how long the offseason is for a lot of these guys. And you spend that without being able to go to, you know, something like the Drew League. There were some guys who played actual games. I think I saw Trae Young playing somewhere in Oklahoma, and there was not a mask in sight in the arena. So, like, sometimes people have been doing things that, you know, maybe aren't the safest. But I think the majority of guys have been, you know, sort of bunkered down and staying at home and doing their own workouts and shooting out at their house or playing empty gyms once the league allowed the arenas and everything to be, or the training facilities to be open. So that's why you only have 12, I think 13 now, with Spencer Dinwiddie testing positive. It's a small percentage of the league when you really pare down who have actually tested positive. So, I mean, I think that's the most positive thing about this, that you have guys who are coming down who are healthy in the most important way, entering the bubble, and then you can sort of figure out the basketball part after that. But it's definitely going to be a little bit rusty, I think, at least in those first few games for a lot of the players, just sort of trying to get back into the game speed and trying to get a rhythm back, just because the speed and the timing and all of that is just so different from what all of them have been experiencing for the last 3 months.
Deontay Prince from the Chicago Tribune talking basketball with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. You know, Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, they made it into this bubble. They will compete for a playoff spot. How much of all of this that builds up to the playoffs has to do with getting Zion Williamson on TV for people to watch?
I think that's very important. I mean, even the AP story that we had on the Tribune about the game coming back, it was centered on Zion and the fact that they play in that first night. Obviously they want all the superstars to be in the games, you know, and there was some concern about that. I think, you know, Dame Lillard, Kyrie Irving, a lot of these guys have, and I don't think Kyrie is playing, but a lot of these guys expressed some level of concern before the game started. But it's important to have basically the future of the NBA showcase in this situation, you know, amidst all of this uncertainty. Is nice to have a guy who can electrify people and, you know, sort of like, I don't want to use the word escape because that's sort of been used as a negative connotation in terms of the league coming back. But I'll just say give people something to be excited about for a little bit. And he played really well. He outplayed a lot of expectations coming back from that knee injury. So he'll be great to watch. I really wish him and Ja were both in there, but you know, we'll have to wait until next year for that.
You mentioned Kyrie Irving. He, along with a few other players, mentioned that they were hesitant to go back because of taking the attention away from the social reform issues facing our country right now. The NBA announced yesterday that they're going to allow players to put whatever they want to on the back of their jerseys to elevate a cause if they want to. There was also a report tonight from a few people that they're going to put Black Lives Matter on and paint it onto the sideline of each court. Is that going to be enough for the NBA players to say, okay, the NBA is actually, they actually care, they're doing enough here and giving us what we want as far as elevating these social causes?
I think because of Adam Silver's track record and in instances like this, that a lot of players know that the NBA cares on a certain level. You know, when you think back on the decisive action with Donald Sterling and the I Can't Breathe shirts where, you know, the league was fully behind the players and however they wanted to protest in those situations. I think the NBA has been open to protest in many forms, through at least throughout the Silver tenure for sure. What feels a little bit hollow, and this isn't the NBA's doing, but it's sort of like been a thing around the country where you see in D.C. Black Lives Matter out on the street, or you see it in Milwaukee, and that's not necessarily what people are asking for. You know, it's great that they're putting the words down and that people will see that during games and that they won't necessarily have a full escape from the protests and what people are trying to get done. But what I see most from people on social media, and this is within sports, outside of sports, is that, you know, we appreciate, you know, people say that we appreciate the signs, we appreciate the, I guess, just, you know, that you recognize and stand with the Black community, but it's more about actual reform in ways that the NBA, I don't know if the NBA, you know, things that are necessarily, that are somewhat out of the NBA's reach, in terms of, you know, Black people being treated more fairly by the justice system, by police, and I think that's the real change that people are waiting for. Obviously, this shortened NBA season isn't going to give that to people, but it's nice to, you know, that the NBA won't be a full escape from that and that it won't detract from it.
Thank you, Deontay. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, too. You all have a good night.
You too. That's Deontay Prince from the Chicago Tribune. Follow him on Twitter at Deontay. Yeah, so tonight from Zach Lowe and Ramona Shelburne on ESPN.com, the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association are planning to paint Black Lives Matter on the court, inside both sidelines, in all three arenas when the league resumes at the Walt Disney World Resort later next month in Orlando, Florida. So the story is up, and then also the WNBA is discussing painting Black Lives Matter on the court when it starts up their abbreviated 2020 season at the IMG Academy in Florida as well. So that article is up at ESPN.com.
I think I understand what Deontay's saying, because, like, you see it a lot, like this month, right? This month is Pride Month too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see basically every business and every organization is like, oh, here's our rainbow post. You know what I mean? Like, and it just kind of becomes,
yeah, when
like,
when corporations take over,
yeah,
and everyone and all the corporations feel obligated,
exactly,
to just force out a post.
And the Black community is saying, without us, you wouldn't have the NBA. So you, right, need to invest back in us. So we've invested in you, right? We play for you. You market us. You do everything, right? We're the stars. You need to invest, take that money and invest it back in our communities and give me back, and not just paint Black Lives Matter on the court. Like, I completely understand that it's more action and less just like, oh, here's our black square post on Instagram. Here's our rainbow post on Instagram. Like, you can't just let the symbol just become washed away in the noise. Like, yeah, there needs to be more action and investment in the community.
Absolutely. And the NBA, I think, is set up in a great position, because I trust Chris Paul and LeBron James to lead the way.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, what LeBron is doing for voting reform and making sure people can vote in this country, I think is incredible. And Chris Paul is the leader of the Players Association. So I think that it's in good hands. Mm-hmm. And, like, the concerns about what you just said, what Deontay just said, I think it's all valid. But I feel like the NBA leadership level, Michelle Roberts, Chris Paul, LeBron James, all of those individuals, they will get it done and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel good about it. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, chairs. Are they necessary? Yeah, chairs. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Oh, and Salim.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
I think we just figured out the issues with the newspaper industry in that last commercial break. Black and Abdallah breaking down.
Better models.
We're trying to figure it out.
Better models.
You know, if they just did this there, this here, they'd figure it out. But the newspapers are still viable. I mean, not the actual. All right. Saleem and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Saleem?
Hey, fellas. Thanks so much for getting me in.
No problem, man. What's going on?
Hey, so I was listening to you guys, and you guys brought up the whole Jim Boylan stuff. And a week ago, I wasn't too concerned, but now I'm getting like to a point where I'm nervous. And obviously, getting rid of him is very important. And I'm completely agreement with you, Black. You have to do a thorough coaching search. You cannot just hire the guy that you want to hire without, you know, interviewing other people, because then you put yourself in a position where the person you hire, and Adrian Griffin, yes, he's one of the guys that I would like the Bulls to look at. But then you put yourself in a position where he has to be like a Steve Kerr or someone that's just Greg Popovich right off the bat. That's how good he has to become for it to warrant that kind of hire, because that's where we ended up with Hoiberg, where he just looked completely lost and he was not a good, turned out a bad hire. I don't know if you can look at on the other side of the town with the Bears when Pace just with blind faith went with his guy Trubisky. It just and when it failed, it's just that much more embarrassing. So, yeah, I'm getting a little concerned, but yeah, I completely agree with you that there needs to be a thorough coaching search.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Saleem. Thanks for the phone call.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Have a great night, man.
troublesome, man.
We hear the audio from Joe Cowley earlier today on David Kaplan's show. If you missed the podcast, check it on the ESPN Chicago app. Cowley's saying there could be the possibility that Jim Boylan's back with it's just that
you have done so much good in the eyes of the
Could
fan base,
imagine?
By finally moving on from Gar Pax. Look, I was thinking of the Gar Pax, like
and John Foreman,
and like of the wasn't John Foreman that 70s show?
Isn't it Red Foreman?
Yeah, but what's this kid's name?
I don't know.
Anyway, Eric Foreman.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Eric, yo, 11 over here. you had the Gar Pax. What do you call it? The billboards and everything. Yeah. And people were so mad and nobody was going to games anymore. Uh-huh. And like you were a joke at the All-Star game in your own city. And finally you're like, okay, fine. We're going to do some good here. We got rid of him. We're going to bring in Karnishvis. This is going to be good. We're going to bring in Mark Eversley. It's going to be great.
Keep boiling.
And you can't.
You can't do it.
You undo all that good stuff. You undo all the good graces that you've created with fans now.
I agree with
you. The Last Dance, like
I know.
How cool is it that it's such a meathead thing to think is cool that Karnishvis was so pumped by The Last Dance that he called Mark Eversley and hired him that night afterwards? He was like, yo, wake up. You're getting hired.
He was going to have a moment, man.
Yes.
They were pumped. They were ready to go.
I got to go with this guy?
I'm telling you, he saw The Last Dance and he started bebopping all around the living room and said, I got to call Eversley.
That's great.
Here we go.
That's awesome.
Bulls.
Pumped.
Last Dance.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then they're boiling. Like, but let's keep boiling.
No! Stop this nonsense! All right, what about chairs?
Okay, so to more serious matters. Did you see...
Does it have to do Christopher Nolan?
It does.
Because one, that's the second Christopher Nolan thing, and I just saw something.
Yeah, he's been trending.
From great TV writer Alan Sepinwall said, of course, Christopher Nolan hates chairs.
Yeah, so earlier today... Earlier today on Variety's website, they have a series of actors talking to actors.
Ooh.
Anne Hathaway was talking.
Ew.
Wait, you got a problem with Anne Hathaway?
I just never liked her acting.
Okay. I mean, Devil Wears Prada is a pretty good movie.
Not for me.
Really?
Mm-mm.
It's good.
What's that pharmacy one she's in with Jakey G?
Oh, Drugs and Other Stuff.
Drug with Jakey G?
Yeah.
That's
a good
bad.
One.
Yeah, that's good.
And the one with De Niro is pretty good, too, where he's like an intern.
The Intern?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not going to slander The Intern.
It's a great movie. Tugs at the heartstrings.
It does. It tugs at strings.
That poor guy. Technology has passed him by, but he still wants to do some good work.
What's he going
to
do?
So Anne Hathaway on Variety is talking with Hugh Jackman, and they're talking about directors who don't allow cell phones on set. Hugh Jackman said there are two directors that he's worked with that didn't allow the use of cell phones on the set. Here's Anne Hathaway on Variety's website.
And I didn't mean to, I don't want to contradict you, but you've actually worked with three directors that don't allow cell phones.
Was Tom one as well?
No, Christopher Nolan.
Oh, Nolan, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. Chris also doesn't allow chairs.
Doesn't he?
So I worked with him twice. Doesn't allow chairs. And his reasoning is if you have chairs, people will sit. And if they're sitting, they're not working.
There's Anne Hathaway.
I'm sitting right now. I'm working.
I'm sitting as well. I always sit when I work.
People can see us on Twitch, right? People can see us on Twitch.
You want me to stand? I'll give you a stance.
The mic doesn't really go up.
Well, you could hunch over. This is what Cap does. No, he leans over like this at the mic.
You could either hunch over or you could give me a wide leg.
I'll pull up the shorts a little bit.
I'll give you. The people on Twitch can't see the shorts.
It's like a stretch.
You can almost see my boxer briefs underneath. I've pulled the shorts up so high. But you can't, unless I'm doing one of these, if I'm just standing, you can't get
the mics are meant here in the studio for
Now, if we were downstairs, we're up here in our beautiful First Midwest Bank studios up here, but we have the downstairs ones. We're not in those right now, pandemic. We're not. And so those are built for standing. Those you can stand and do it, but yeah, okay, fine. How do we look? My computer's messed up.
Well, I'm just saying that Christopher Nolan on the sets of his movies thinks that if people are sitting, they're not working. How archaic is that thought process?
I mean, what about the people that have can you sit? If you don't have chairs, can I sit on one of those sitting balls?
Oh, like you're working in a futuristic office?
I'm working at a tech office, like I'm working at Groupon.
Yes. Well, yeah, Groupon or Facebook.
I'm working at the Facebook.
Or Uber.
I'm working at Google.
Any of the buildings in the West Loop, basically.
I'm working at
the Google building, the McDonald's building, just a bunch of bouncy balls rolling around in there.
I'm working at GoDaddy.
Yes. It's funny because who would work there?
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Check out the podcast, Black and Abdallah, on the ESPN Chicago app. Guess what?
What?
Tomorrow?
Uh-oh.
At 9 a.m.
No.
Take that.
You guys better, if you're listening right now and you like the Black and Abdallah experience, you better get your naps in.
Better get ready.
Better get your nap time in, because in 12 hours.
We're back.
We'll be back in for Cap. As he starts his road, he's flying first and then staying somewhere for 2 weeks and then starts his road trip.
The promo card says Black and Abdallah, one time only, in for Cap tomorrow.
One time only.
It's what the promo card here says.
That's like saying the Rolling Stones are going on their final tour.
Tomorrow from 9 to noon on ESPN 1000. We'll be back tomorrow and we'll talk football with you. We'll have some other nonsense to get into as well. And we'll probably talk some baseball because I am looking forward to the 60-game schedule. So we'll break down the Cubs and the White Sox here on ESPN 1000 tomorrow from 9 to noon. Black and Abdallah, take that. We're in for Cap. How about that? Take it.
Take it. Take that. Nap time.
Thanks, Rachel Ray.
Nap time. Nap time.
So I wanted to ask you guys about this. Someone tweeted me earlier today, at Drama Queen Music. It was his real handle. I was going to usually I just give the person their name. But it didn't have a name. But he seemed like he was a real guy and not a bot because he asked me a question.
Sounds like a bot.
He said he watched Will Ferrell's new movie. You see this? It came out, I think, on Netflix.
I gave it as part of my what to watch for.
Did you watch it?
Sylvie. Absolutely not.
Oh, so you just used it for a bit?
No,
you didn't
because Meller and I had the same one.
Oh, so you need that.
And so I was like, I'm going to watch the same thing as you. And I've also seen this trailer and it looks, said it looked like, give me the algorithm for a Will Ferrell movie. Like the Mad Libs for a Will Ferrell movie. And it just fits it in.
Okay. So at Drama Queen tweets me, go watch. This is his statement. Go watch the new Will Ferrell movie. It's his best in a while. And so I thought to myself, you know, it's a good question. When was the last good Will Ferrell movie?
Oh, I can give you that. That's easy.
You're going to have to go back some time, my friend.
Well, listen, you think you have taste in movies, and then you tell me...
The last good movie he was in was Step Brothers, no?
No.
You realize that was 12 years ago.
I understand that it was
2008.
Years ago. Okay, let's see.
You keep scrolling. By all means, IMDb that up.
Producer.
Come on, show me. Go click on actor and please show me something in the last 12 years that's a good movie.
Okay.
I saw that one, the one with the Avalanche deal that just came out. It's like a serious movie.
Haven't seen it.
With Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Okay.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
That's a series. He was a producer of Booksmart.
Okay, please, you're still scrolling there, I see.
No, I'm just... Did you watch Between Two Ferns the movie?
No.
Why not?
That doesn't count.
Why does that not count?
Original content. Come on. And then the Tim and Eric one on there doesn't count either. The billion-dollar movie, that doesn't count. Give me an original Will Ferrell movie that's good in the last 10 years.
Holmes and Watson.
Are you serious right now?
Mm-mm. Daddy's Home 2.
I missed the first one.
I'm just waiting for you to give me something that was good in the last 12 years.
Here you go. Zoolander 2, 2016.
Did people like that?
I thought it was funny.
Okay. Then
I like Zoolander, though.
Fine. There you go. Zoolander 2.
Oh, how about this? The Lego Movie, 2014. That people
ensemble cast.
Ensemble
cast.
No, that's B.
Is he the lead?
Step Brothers is an ensemble cast then too, because you got a lot of funny people.
It's a Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly.
It's John C. Reilly
and Will Ferrell.
The Internship.
See, I want to give you the. I want to give you the Lego Movie.
Ensemble.
Six years ago.
No. A serious actor. You don't say, hey, what was Scarlett Johansson's best movie? And then you say The Avengers.
If you think it was her best movie.
No, that's not
I didn't say it was his best movie. I'm just saying it's his last good movie.
You guys are out of your
minds.
Ask
Salim.
Salim, what was Will Ferrell's last good movie? Salim.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
You're
back again. I know.
What's Will Ferrell's last good movie?
Will Ferrell's last, The Other Guys.
The Other Guys? Right, how long ago was that?
Right, with Mark Wahlberg?
I'm just asking how long ago it was. How long ago it was. That's all I want to know.
That's a long time ago. I can't remember.
That's 2010. That's 10 years ago.
Thank you. You guys all think Will Ferrell's coming out with hot movies left and right.
No, I never said that. All I said was, in fact, I think he's actually taken a step back and gone into the world of producing and directing as opposed to this. That's what he's doing. He's doing a lot of producing. A lot of TV shows, actually, too.
Oh, Will Ferrell's so funny. Yeah? What has he done in the last 10 years?
Who's your funny guy?
What do you mean?
Who's your funny guy?
I don't have a funny guy.
You got to have a funny guy. If you're going to have a guy, who's your funny guy?
For this?
Yeah?
I'll tell you tomorrow at 9.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's.